I had a set of verses on my heart for today, and that's really where my focus was initially. And then I looked at my calendar and realized, oh, March 17th. Anybody know what today is? The people wearing green go, St. Patrick's Day. In fact, it's so interesting because I actually prepared stuff and kind of dove into Patrick's life and was reading it, and I had stuff here and I didn't even think to wear green. So I realized it because my wife pinched me as soon as I sat down. So I was like, what's that? She goes, you don't have green on it. Okay. Well, let's talk about what it's really about and not, that's like school spirit to me, you know, like spirit day. But I was going to mention Micah. Do you want to raise your hand, Micah? Right there. That is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. He just turned 14 yesterday, so happy birthday, Micah. All right, so I'm going to try to follow my notes as well as my little interjected things that I wrote in here, but when I think of Patrick, I think of St. Patrick. I got into his writings and realized he didn't call himself St. Patrick. He just said, I am Patrick. So I'm just going to call him Patrick. Do you guys know when he lived? Anybody know the time frame? When he was born? I was amazed. He was born in 385 or 386 AD. Yeah. Like, he's closer to Jesus than most people we've ever thought of in the modern era. 385 AD. That's a long time before anything we know of as modernization. Things were really dark then. Really, no systems, no roads, no provision of things that we think of as normal in daily life. And I thought about, okay, I'm talking about Ireland, and I could preach this whole message in an Irish accent, but the Lord didn't tell me to do that, so I'm not going to do it. It'd be kind of fun. You'd get tired of it, though. You'd be like, would you please just talk normal? I'll read a paragraph here. Let me think here. One thing I want to say about Patrick is that he was both humble and courageous. That's really what stuck out to me. He was super humble, but man, he had courage to just do whatever the Lord told him to do. So Patrick was born. He was born in Britain. All right, I'll read this. JB. I got to get the Irish in my mind here. Born in Britain when he was 16, he was captured by Irish pirates during a raiding party and taken to Ireland as a slave to herd and tend the sheep for a Druid high priest. For 6 years, he served as a shepherd slave, often herding the flocks nearly naked in all kinds of weather. All right, that's enough. I'd probably get off track if I tried to do the whole thing that way. So I want to read what he wrote about his time. He was 16 and he was kidnapped in around the year 400 or so. And he wrote, "The love of God and his fear grew in me more and more, as did the faith, and my soul was rose, so that in a single day I have said as many as 100 prayers, and in the night nearly the same. I prayed in the woods and on the mountain, even before dawn. I felt no hurt from the snow or ice or rain. I arose before day in the snow, in the frost, and in the rain, yet I received no harm, nor was I afflicted with slothfulness, for then the Spirit of God was warm within me." who is this guy? 16 years old, and he turned to God when he had nothing else. He's nearly naked in the cold, and he's a slave for a Druid high priest, and he just turned to the Lord. So David was a shepherd for years, and he found the Lord in the time of separation. I don't know where this is going to go with speaking to you, but God has a message for you guys, and it's individual to you. He wants to speak something to you through these stories. His captivity lasted for 6 years. He was about 22, and he escaped back. And the reason he escaped is he had heard a voice behind him, and it said, "Your hungers are rewarded. You're going home. Look, your ship is ready." And so he set out on foot, headed south. It says over 200 miles. That's a long way. And he found a ship, and he got on this ship. And when they landed in Britain, back in his home country, they landed in this place that he describes as a place of desolation. And the Irish sailors, they're traveling on foot. There's nothing there, and they were starving. And he told them, "God will provide." And so they ridiculed him. They're laughing at him. And so he stopped and he prayed and he said, "God, show them that you provide." And instantly, right away, there was a herd of pigs came running through, and the sailors killed the pigs and they had plenty of food to eat. And so there's these stories that sort of trail along behind Patrick that people tell. People call them legends. They call them, you know, whatever. You can believe what you want, but I see a man of God finding his provision in his Savior every day as he needed it. He felt like his education was not enough. In fact, it wasn't a big priority back in the 400s. It still seems so amazing to me. But he's linked to so many miracles. He served as a missionary back to Ireland because he went to Britain, and then he had a vision, a dream actually, where this man came to him, and the man's name was Victoricus or Victorious, and he carried letters with him, and on the one he gave to Patrick in this vision, it said, "The voice of the Irish." And he read the letter. This is in Patrick's words. He says, "I imagine that in that moment I heard the voice of those very people who were near the wood of Faucloux, which is beside the Western Sea. And they cried out as with one voice, 'We beg you, holy youth, that you shall come and shall walk among us again.' And I was stung intensely in my heart so that I could read no more, and thus awoke. Thanks be to God, because after so many years, the Lord bestowed on them according to their cry." He had a dream about the Irish saying, "Come back and walk among us." Now you got to realize this is where he was a slave. This is not a happy place for him. This is the place of his suffering. This is the place where everything went south, went bad. Like, he was kidnapped and taken. This is the one place on earth he did not want to go. But then he had a dream. And his faith in God is so much stronger than his past, so much stronger than his suffering, that he said, "I'll go." And so he went, and he served in Ireland for over 30 years as a missionary. He did some training, and he felt like he needed to take some time and really study. And so in the years following the dream, from there to when he traveled, he went to Bible college, kind of, is whatever that equates to. And when he got there, this was around 432, 433 AD. And I'm going to read this little thing because it's such a sign of the humility and courage and boldness. "The pagan festival of Ostara was to be celebrated, and the High King of Tara had decreed that no fires should be lit in the land before the great bonfire on the hill of Tara initiated the holiday. So it's a pagan holiday, and they light this big bonfire, and the king said, nobody's going to light a fire until that bonfire starts this festival. So Patrick and his followers climbed the hill of Slain directly across from Tara and lit their own bonfire. I like this guy. Man. When the king saw the flames, in defiance of his ordinance, he sent soldiers to put it out and arrest whoever was involved. By chanting the poem now known as St. Patrick's Breastplate, has anybody ever heard of this? I didn't know any of this stuff. They chanted this poem that Patrick wrote. He and his followers were able to pass through the soldiers undetected as though they were a herd of deer. These soldiers came to get these guys, and these are soldiers. They're not. Patrick and his followers just walked right through this group of soldiers. Bet you can't guess where they went. They went over to the king of Tara, on the hill of Tara. Like, they just escaped, and yet they went right over. And it says, Patrick defeated the Druids in a debate and won the right to preach to the court of the king, his queen, and chieftains. At the same time, the soldiers who had been sent to arrest Patrick appeared, reporting that they could not extinguish Patrick's fire. In your face. Like, come on. This is awesome. This is God showing himself strong to a faithful servant. And Patrick wasn't making this stuff up. He was simply doing what he felt God calling him to do. The story concludes with many of the court converting to Christianity. Yeah, I would think so. His God's bigger than their God. The pagan festival, it didn't mean anything anymore because God proved himself strong. Many of the Irish people struggled to understand how God could be three in one, and so Patrick used the clover, three-leaf clover, the shamrock, to describe God as Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and yet with one stem and as one being, one thing. That's why the shamrock. It's common in Ireland, so he just picked it up and was like, this is what it is. The four-leaf clover is an exception, so that doesn't matter. But he used the shamrock. So when you see it, think of this. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Do you think Patrick came up with that idea? No. He's going, God, what do I do? How do I show them? And he sees that, and the Lord goes, show them that. Again, God showing himself faithful for Patrick. Patrick recorded baptizing many thousands of people at wells of water after they chose to become Christians. So he was a Baptist. Wow, interesting. Few miracles are more dramatic than bringing dead people back to life, and Patrick was credited with having done so for 33 different people. There's an old guy that said, he was a writer back then, and he says, 33 dead men, some of whom had been many years buried, did this great reviver raise from the dead. Wow, I didn't know that either. Patrick wrote about this, and I want you to hear his heart. Listen what he says. The Lord has given to me, though humble, the power of working miracles among a barbarous people, such as are not recorded to have been worked by the great apostles. Inasmuch as in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ I have raised from the dead bodies that have been buried many years. But I beseech you, let no one believe that for these or the like works I am to be at all equal to the apostles, or with any perfect man, since I am humble and a sinner and worthy only to be despised. Wow. He's like, don't look at me, guys. Don't look at me. It's the Lord Jesus at work. Here's this guy doing stuff that I bet he didn't expect to do. And yet the Lord leads him and miracles are performed. He says, and let those who will laugh and scorn. I shall not be silent, nor shall I hide the signs and wonders which the Lord has shown me. He didn't hide from it. He was not about himself. He said, don't look at me, but I'll do whatever God says. That's amazing. I don't really want to call him St. Patrick. I just want to call him Patrick. Man of God, Patrick. What a good guy. I look forward to meeting him. For more than 1,000 years, the Irish have observed St. Patrick's Day. So when you think of it, someone goes, Happy St. Patrick. Come on, it's not about, I know the world's like, oh, okay, it's about wearing green and drinking beer. That's not what it's about. It's about remembering what God did through his servant, Patrick, as a missionary in the land of his slavery. That's amazing. So some of the things that these confirmations now, I wanted to, the verses that kept coming to me were, it was reminding me about what's coming in 2 weeks. Okay? Do you know what it is? What's happening in 2 weeks? Yeah, we celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And I was thinking about the cross. In fact, I have, the title was Patrick and the Cross. And because I want to talk about these two different things, but they're not two different things. They're the same thing. Because here is the man on the cross being revealed by the man in Ireland. And we sing, thank you for the cross. Okay, we're singing, thank you for the cross, Lord. And Natalie's up here asking us, you know, God, Jesus is asking her, am I worthy? Am I worthy? And we go, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Did you know that we were going to sing that song? Of course not. You don't have to. She asks, are you worthy? I mean, Jesus says, am I worthy? And separately, there's songs being prepared that says, worthy is the Lamb. Don't miss those confirmations. They didn't plan that. That's the Lord at work. I was sitting in my office and just thinking about this morning. I just took some time. And the thing that God had put on my heart is that at the cross, Jesus accomplished everything. Everything we need, everything. And I looked, I had Spotify playing, and there's this song came on, and it says, yes, everything I need, everything I need, my Father has it, my Father has it, every single time. And I took a screenshot. Why? Because that's what's on my notes, and this comes on my just random playlist that I didn't choose. It's just curated, and it's just playing. So everything we need, the Lord has this message for you. No matter what it is, everything you need has already been provided. More confirmations. Patrick's breastplate that they quoted and passed through the soldiers of the herd of deer. See if you can make the connection here. Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ in me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ on my right, Christ on my left, Christ when I lie down, Christ when I sit down, Christ when I arise. Do you remember the blessing song that we sang? All around you, everywhere. We sang a portion of Patrick's breastplate, not knowing that I was going to talk about Patrick. I mean, who knows what's on that? I had to look it up quickly because I had read it. It's not even in my notes. And we're sitting here singing, or we're singing this song, all around me, Christ with me, all around me. His blessing goes with me. It's with you. Remember this. Remember this. This is the only way that Patrick could be a shepherd. It's the only way that he could lead the people. It's the same with you. Remember, God has this message that is specific to you that he's speaking. This is actually a really simple message. Everything we need is on the cross. Everything was accomplished. When I read the opening statement of Patrick's book, he wrote several, there are several writings that he did, but he introduced himself like this. I am Patrick, a sinner, most unlearned, the least of all the faithful, and utterly despised by many. When I heard that, I read it, I thought, utterly despised. Huh. Do you guys know Isaiah 53, verse 5. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. Jesus was despised and rejected. Have you been despised and rejected? Have you felt alone in that? Have you felt like no one understands me? See, God has, not only does he understand us, he has lived as one of us. That's why Jesus, one of the reasons Jesus came is so that he could understand. He everything that we experience, he experienced. So you're not alone in this. And he's still alive, and he still understands it, and he's still there for you. So the message of being, what happened to the cross, it is finished, everything we need. One of the most life-changing truths that I ever learned was this right here. And it comes from 2 Peter 1, verses, actually, I'm just going to read verses 1 through 4 to start with. Simon Peter, 2 Peter 1, 1. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Okay, I have the other verses here, but let's just think about this. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. What do you need? What do you need in life? Let's just go there. All things that pertain to life have already been provided. You already have everything you need. Now, don't argue with me. In your heart, go, you don't know what I need. Just let it go once. And just allow your heart to receive this. Everything that you need, you already have. I want to read, I'm going to skip a couple of these verses because, just for time. Galatians 5, 22 to 25. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. The fruit of the Spirit. Do you realize that if you have the Spirit of God in you, now this is, everything has been provided for you and you have it already if you've been born again. If you have not been born again, talk to Caleb Braun. He'll do it for you. He'll help you. Sorry, Caleb, I did. Talk to anybody here. If you have been born again, you have the Spirit of God in you. Now ask him to fill you completely. Ask him, like, there's a way that you can access more of him. In other words, this new birth experience of taking your spirit and joining it with the Spirit of God creates this vessel that can hold the presence of God. So ask him for his presence on a continual basis. Ask him for his presence. See, this is not the fruit of, I'll use Patrick. This is not the fruit of Patrick or of Doran or of someone else here. This is the fruit of the Spirit. Love. Do you need more love? Joy. Do you need more joy? Do you feel like I don't have joy? Patience. All the young parents here go, I need more patience. Or maybe parents of teenagers can. Do you need more? Do you feel like you need more? Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. What about self-control? Do you feel like you need more? You feel lacking in any of these areas? The reason this is such a powerful message is that without him, you are lacking. But you're never without him. That's the key. This is not complicated. I don't ask God for patience. I haven't asked him for patience for years and years. It's not because, oh, hard things will come to me like I was told growing up. No, it's because I already have it. I don't need any more. I thank him that I already have what I need. When a situation comes up that I need patience for, I go, wow, do I feel lacking in patience right now. Thank you, Lord, that you are in me, and because of you, I've got all the patience I need, and the situation changes. Does the situation change or my heart posture change? Yeah, it's my heart posture. If I need love, let's say someone is spitting in your face, angry, yelling at you, and they're the jerk. They're the ones at fault, and you do not feel like loving them. Stop. Thank you, Lord, that I have all of your love in me. I'm not lacking at all. I have 100% of you in me. You can love. Boom. Literally just like that. You can love. See, this message flies in the face of what religion would tell us is that you're nothing but a worm. You never will be anything. You should be, you're just grovel on the ground and cry out to God, God, give me something, give me something. That's not what it means to live as a son of God. God has given it to us. He has provided for us. Sometimes we can't see it, even when we're in the middle of the situation and we go, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how. He says, I do, and I'm in you. I'll show you. So I don't know how this applies to your situation, but every one of us came in here with something we would perceive as a need. We would go, well, I need this. I need that. I had a dream when I was, I'd have to look in my journal to see how old I was. But Jesus came to me in this dream and he said, in me is everything that you need to live. And he said a few more things, but that phrase, I couldn't get it. It didn't make sense to me. I woke up from that dream and I said, how? Can I go back into that dream and reach into the pocket of Jesus I saw in the dream and pull out the money I need to pay this bill? How is it possible? How is it possible? And it frustrated me because I said, you're not because don't you see these bills that are due and don't you see the lack in my bank account? But I'm telling you, as I have listened to him, when I have had this glaring need and I say, God, I can't find you. I don't know how to find you. I've gone into the secret place and I've sat before him and I say, I don't know how to do this. I don't even know how to access, but I choose to believe. I choose to believe. You said that you are everything. You said that everything was accomplished. Everything was finished. And in you, I have everything I need. I'm asking you for it. Show me how to do it. And then it's not that I just had a vision and I could see myself going into it. I chose to believe in my heart that when the situation came up, I would have what I needed. And it happened so many times. How many stories do we have in here of people that this has happened to? A ton. Probably all of us at some point have been like, I don't know how that happened. If you can either just say it was coincidence or you can say, God provided. He's not flashy. He's not going to be this. So often we want to see the hand of God as this Patrick's fire on the hill. Okay, fine. But God has made so that every single time when we rest in him, our faith comes alive and reaches out and it produces because our faith is in him. Don't look around you for the things that you need. Don't look around you for the fruits of the Spirit. Now, there are verses that say, add to your faith virtue and to virtue knowledge and to knowledge. So there is diligence in pursuing God, and you can grow in your relationship with him, grow in your ability to access the fruits of the Spirit. This is not just automatic. It doesn't just, well, because you're born again, now you just, it just works. No, it takes diligence. It takes sitting before the feet, at the feet of Jesus and pursuing him, reading his word. Take it in, but begin with this. I already have it. I'm simply discovering what I have. I'm simply discovering what he's already put inside of me. Hebrews 6:12 says, "And do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises." Look around you, find people who you see fruits in their life. You see God at work in their life. Find people. He says, imitate those who through faith and patience. Why? Just to imitate them? No, so that you can learn to become more like Christ. James 1:4 says, "But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing or wanting nothing." Psalm 23 says, "What the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, I shall not lack." Even David knew this, that when we are in connection with him, our needs are met by him. And don't get mad at me if your needs are not being met. If you go, you can say that all you want, but it's not working for me. Listen, God wants you personally to pursue him personally. Don't worry about how things are meeting your expectation. Make this decision in your heart. I will go after him with everything I have, even if it costs me everything I have. Even if I get to the end of my life and I haven't seen it, still commit your heart to trust him and go after him with everything you have. Now, the last thing I want to say here is the blessing. This is amazing. I'm reading in my daily Bible reading, and I came across this verse. I highlighted it on my phone, and I had it. I took a screenshot of it on March 9th. Took a screenshot of this. "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." Why did I highlight that? Why did I take a screenshot of that? Why do we sing the song, the blessing song today? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord lift up his countenance. Come on, get the Father's heart here. Recognize he's pursuing you. I didn't know what songs we're going to sing. Well, there have been so many confirmations like this morning. And you go, "God, I don't know that your face is toward me. I don't know this. You don't know what I'm going through." I promise you, his face is toward you. He loves you. He cares about you. Open your heart and believe it. Receive it. Believe it. I'm going to read this again, then I want to pray. "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." Lord, thank you for this morning and this time of so many confirmations of you reaching out to us in such a simple way and yet such a powerful way. Reaching in and touching our hearts, even when we have felt distant from you or felt disconnected, when we felt like there's more needs than supply, and yet you've shown and convinced us. There's been so many times throughout history. We reached all the way back to 400 AD today, and seeing your hand of provision, seeing how you worked miracles and how you did things and how your name is honored and glorified even today. So, Father, I pray that for every person here, that they would take time to sit in your presence, read your word, and believe that your face is upon them, your face is toward them. And I pray that you would give them peace and joy. I pray that all the fruits of the Spirit, that they would look inside and see you, not their own sinfulness, but that they would see you and your perfection and realize that because of you, they have everything they need. We pray this all in the name of Jesus. Amen.